Good afternoon. This is Byron Nelson with our noontime report on the COVID-19. This is August 12th, and we've had some exciting things materialize over the last 24 hours we'd like to report on. And we have Greg Moon here he just walked in, and now he's getting situated in his seat there, and so it should be working.
What?
Are you? Go ahead and give us a see if your mic's working.
Yeah, it is. Probably can't hear.
Oh, can't hear.
Well, have you adjusted the volume?
Just turn that up. Yeah, right.
So full blast.
Okay. Huh. And we just had Bobby Kane, chief of police, walk in now too. So we're all pretty busy, and we just now. Keep with us. We're working out some problems here. So let me go ahead and start. As you know, out there, the real problem, the main way we can confront and to battle this virus is ourselves, as far as making sure that we wear a mask, that we practice safe distancing from people when you go into the store. You know, don't really approach anyone, and make sure you have your masks on, and wash your hands. Okay, Greg, are you ready?
Yeah, can you hear me all right?
Mike, can you hear him?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, just have for immediate release, some news here. Some Hoopa Mini Mart employees have been exposed to a COVID-19 positive case. Mini Mart temporary closed for the thorough cleaning. August 12, 2020. This morning it was reported that some employees at the Hoopa Mini Mart have been exposed to a COVID-19 positive case. The Mini Mart was briefly closed while the situation was addressed. A thorough cleaning took place, and the steps outlined in the Mini Mart safety plan were followed. Exposed employees who have had more than 15 minutes of unmasked contact were advised to quarantine and be tested by Eva Smith, MD, MPH, public health officer. According to Abraham Kamez III, safety officer for the COVID-19 incident management team, there is a safety plan in place that outlines what happens in the event that employees of the Mini Mart are exposed. The plan was followed carefully to ensure the safety of the employees and the community. The Mini Mart is critical to the community, and the safety officer was on the scene to handle the situation. The Mini Mart was thoroughly cleaned so that the community is able to return to shopping in a safe and clean environment. A skeleton crew of staff that have not been exposed will continue operations on 10-hour shifts, and that's from 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. Please practice maximum safety protocols when visiting the Mini Mart so that the minimal staff remains safe and the Mini Mart is able to remain open for business. Eva Smith, MD, MPHP, advises risk of spread within a single household highlights the need for extra precautions of using a mask, social distancing, and proper hand hygiene. Please limit travel. We are in this together, and we'll get through this together.
Well, that gets down to, I think, probably the biggest concern here in the Valley is the tracing that goes on, the tracking of these cases. That's if we can contain this epidemic and from it spreading throughout the valley, that's the biggest way that we're I think to combat that is for us to know where the people that are infected and make sure that they are staying quarantined. You want to tell us a little bit on how that is coming as far as the tracing going?
So we still are going through the county tracing protocols, and we have a county health official that is a local resident here who's doing the tracing. Additionally, we're looking at training more local folks to participate in case the county tracers are become active elsewhere. Mm-hmm. And so that's happening. You know, the main message that I need to get out today is if we're using our safety protocols, washing our hands, using our masks, not and practicing social distancing, that even if somebody does have the virus, you reduce your risk of getting the virus significantly. So it's the folks that aren't paying attention to this, that aren't taking it seriously, that are really bringing the community at risk. That means our old people, our elders, are the folks that are at high risk. And so today I just want to emphasize really the team can do everything we can to help with the isolated folks, with the quarantine folks, working with Kamau, working with the community to get those needs met. But it also takes the community members to ensure that everybody is practicing these protocols. And if you see somebody that's not, you know, bring it out in the open and say something, because God forbid we want deaths to start happening here on the reservation, and that affects us all. So right now we're in pretty good shape. We have zero deaths. Mm-hmm. But this is a serious disease.
Yeah. So right now we have 30 positives and was it 27 active?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, we have 30 total confirmed cases. That's 4 new today. We have 27 active cases and 3 recoveries. 0 deaths.
Okay. Well, we have one caller, I believe.
Just one.
Let's go ahead with that caller. Caller, you're on the air.
Hi. I just wanted to suggest that there's daily follow-up with each confirmed case and the people that they've come in contact with. Studies are showing that it's a 50% increase safety for the community when there's a daily communication between the positive patients and the people that they've come in contact with. So it helps limit their resistance to follow protocol.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Is daily communication happening? Is follow-up happening?
With the positive cases
high risk
through
and low risk.
Through Kamau with the positive cases, is that what you mean?
Yeah.
I can't say that for sure, but I do think they are. We don't have anybody from Kamau right here right now, but I know from working with Eva Smith, they're in constant contact with the folks that are isolating and the folks that are in quarantine throughout that time that they're there. So, and then we also have contact with them through the 8100 number to help with their supplies that they need throughout the isolation or quarantine.
It just seems impossible for one person to be tracking all of these people. And it's really concerning.
And that's also why we take it so serious when people call the hotline and they need something. You know, we're saying if we don't get to it within a half hour, there's a risk that they may go out and get the stuff themselves and expose the community. So we are doing everything we can to make sure that we respond to those calls and those requests.
How are the
real
people
time.
Off the reservation floor that were exposed equal into that? So, like, if someone from Wichpeck or Orleans or Willow Creek was exposed to the positive cases here, what is our follow-up with those people?
Well, right now the contact tracer will be contacting those folks and help us develop a plan for that. So that's really all I can say to that question.
And you're actually
upwards of 150 people that one person has to stay in contact with each day.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think we're working with the Yurok's down that way, right? Isn't there some activity going on?
There is some coordination with the Yurok Emergency Management Office.
Mm-hmm.
Serene White is actually at our EOC right now, helping coordinate.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is a we're adjusting as we go along here. There's things that we're finding out that we have to fix, and that's why I am concerned personally about the tracking of people that are positive, tested positive, to be able to make sure that they don't go out and meet other people and things. They've got to be able to stay.
That's exactly what I'm talking about.
Right.
If there isn't enough people to make those daily contacts, it's not going to happen. I mean, there's got to be a little bit of response.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know how to phrase that.
We
have to encourage positive behaviors. And there's not that encouragement to remind everyone to stay home if no one's putting pressure on them to stay home.
Right. And that's what we're working on. We are working on. We're pulling in more people as we speak. And so it's not like we are not doing anything about all the thing. The concerns you have are certainly our concerns. And we're trying to remedy that as best as we can. We have another caller. Did you have anything to conclude with your caller?
No, I just...
Okay. Well, thank you for calling, okay? All right.
Thank you.
Caller, you're on the air.
Hi. I have a question about at what point do we decide that we're going to move to a level 4? I understand that the county is at a level 3, but we really have to take into consideration how small our community is and how connected we are. When do we really tighten the reins here and enforce staying at home and business closures?
Okay. Greg, you got the...
Well, yeah, you know, the tribal council has reduced the amount of workers to only essential and emergency workers. I mean, that's a huge step. To have that happen, only our critical infrastructure is operating right now. And so I think we are doing the right thing to make sure that the folks that are high risk don't need to come to work. The folks that are only necessary to keep things, the emergency operations moving forward are at work, and that the safety plans in place allow them to work safely. And so even with the team that I work on here at the Incident Command Center, you know, there's protocols for us coming to work because we don't want to spread or catch the virus either. And so I think we are at a point that is safe to effectively work the emergency. If we cut back any more, we wouldn't be able to provide good service to the community. And if we allow too many people to come to work, it would expose probably some more of the high-risk folks. So I think we're right at the right level, and we're always considering where we are, and we're evaluating that daily.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I guess, I guess my concern is at a certain point, the store is still accepting people to come in. The gas station is still accepting people to come in. And I think that the main concern is, 20, 30 cases is really a lot for our small town. And with the employee testing positive at the gas station just shows how quick this can really spread and affect everybody. So at a certain point, I would hope that the team would start considering maybe closing those businesses down to only curbside or and call in orders or what have you.
Mm-hmm. That's being considered. And like I said, I think we're in the right place. You know, we don't know if the exposure came from the store and interacting with customers, or did it come from interactions with other people that were already quarantined or supposed to be quarantined or isolated. And that's why I started the program off by saying we really need the community to help I won't say enforce, but to make it known to everyone that, look, we need to take this seriously. And, you know, you see folks in your own families, I know I do, really not, you know, because they're young or because, you know, they're invincible at that age. They think that they're not going to catch it, but they could be carrying it and they don't even know it. We have folks in our families that are, suffer from drug addiction and things like that. And those folks are going about their everyday business as if there's no threat. And that's one of the things I came here today to ask the community to help the team by saying something to those folks and just making sure that they keep themselves and us safe, because we're all in this together. And their actions affect our actions and ours theirs.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you for calling. All right. We don't have any more calls right at this point here. But anyway, that's what we really have to stress. We have to stress this within our families as far as practicing wearing your mask at all times. And if you don't have any masks, you know, call the numbers that are to be able to, what's the numbers that they call if they needed the supplies of, like, masks?
Yeah, so you can call the 8100 number and you can make requests there. That goes on to the computer, voicemail. And it also goes through to our operations section chief, which she checks that regularly. And it also goes to the notification on her phone. So mm-hmm. we're able to get those Kamau cell phones now. And so it should be a real-time answer and answered right away. And like I said, we would try to do it within a half hour for sure.
Yeah, okay. All right, I have another caller here. I'll go with another call. Caller, you're on the air.
Hi, I have a concern. I had my granddaughter that was supposed to be, she was tested and she was supposed to not go anyplace. Okay, now the public safety officer thought he'd seen her at the store. And he told a friend of my granddaughter's that he's thought he'd seen her at the store. The friend called her and said, I seen Cassie at the, that he had said he seen her at the store. And she called and said, I will go and pick up groceries if you need something, because Abe said he seen you. And but what I'm getting at, my point is, if Abe did see her at the store, shouldn't he have approached her, or what is the chain there? What does the public safety officer, what is his duty?
Mm-hmm. Okay, Greg, you want to explain the safety officer's duty?
Yeah, and that's an issue. It's a real issue. And that's where I am doing my best to make sure that those roles are clearly defined and that they meet the objectives of the team. Our safety officer is being asked to do a lot of stuff. Number one, his duties for me are to ensure that the offices that are open, they have a safety plan. The stores, the gas station, all of the departments that are operating at an emergency level that they have an operating plan that has the safety measures. So, like today with the mini mart, he was able to go and ensure that they were following, and they were able to actually show that they did not have direct contact with certain people, so they can still operate. So that's number one on his duty list, is to make sure that those plans are operational and that they're being utilized on the ground, and that people aren't really being lackadaisical in their approach to implementing them. Where I see these things happening is, you know, we get calls on the hotline saying so and so is out the store, they're supposed to be quarantined. My direction to him, you know, is if you can go and educate folks, that's great. But really, it's not his job to enforce. It's his job to educate and to approve those safety plans. If he is making outreach to folks, I'm sure it's just to educate and to really help. I think with the Title 72 ordinance, you know, that explains a lot of the roles of the different agencies, like the police or the incident management team safety officer. I was not really identified in there, so he's trying to do the best he can to try to keep the community safe. But I do caution him to keep it to the roles of education and approving those plans.
Okay, so my question is, he didn't do anything and didn't show, you know, where he was going to educate or whatever. He did not, he was not at the store. But my concern as a community member, if our public safety officer sees someone at the store and he knows that this person shouldn't be at the store, then my, and does nothing about it, then me going to the store and getting the virus, then do we have a public safety officer that's doing the job, or do we have a public safety officer that just calls somebody and say, oh, I seen so-and-so, you know, like gossip?
Hi, ma'am. Can you hear me? This is Bob Jr.
Yeah.
So the public safety officers, Chief Moon said he has several duties. And to answer your question, if the public safety officer does see an individual that has tested positive for COVID at the store, he will contact law enforcement, tribal police. We will respond with him. It does take us extra time to gear up our officers and those in the personal protective equipment. But working with him, I'm not sure what incident you're talking about, but Abe's been doing a great job. The incidents that we've encountered with him, he's contacted us right away, even before he arrived on scene, letting the officers know if somebody potentially has it. We've had one incident where this did occur, but fortunately, it was a kind of a false alarm. It wasn't the person in question that had tested positive, so we were lucky about that. But if I'm not sure what incident you're talking about, if there was a complaint, we encourage you to call and discuss that, and hopefully we can remedy it.
Okay, maybe I might have one.
Thank you for that. But okay. This person that he thought he'd seen at the store was tested, and she just called me this morning and said that they were, her and her two kids were negative, so they were fine, but when they were supposed to be in. I think he should have, as a community member, I think if we have a public safety officer, he needs to go through his chain of command and make sure someone goes to these houses to say, you know, were you at the store? And if not, we'll tell her, you know, to educate them why they can't be at the store.
Right.
But that didn't happen in this case.
Okay. Go ahead, Greg.
Yeah, I just want to assure the public that this is one of my main speeches to the team, is we don't operate on gossip and rumors. That's why we have clear objectives for us to work on as a team, because
this is not gossip. This person was my granddaughter.
No, I'm not saying you're gossiping, but people call and say, I saw so-and-so, or I caution my folks when I work with them to say, we have objectives to keep us working with the community, and we can't chase down those things. So I hate to get involved in that kind of stuff, and that's why I asked Abe to work with the police department so closely.
Well, I might make a suggestion here, Greg, as far as that position. Maybe we should beef that position up, and maybe another person should be either helping him or assisting him.
Definitely.
We'll be looking at that then.
Yeah.
We have another caller.
Okay, thank you. Okay. I didn't really get an answer that I wanted, but...
Okay. Well, thank you for calling.
Thank you for doing a good job, I guess.
Okay. Okay, caller, you're on the air.
Hey, Greg. Bingo, B7. basically, this is Jamie. This morning, I was doing somebody's job, and I'm at home, and I'm asking people, this person is positive, and they came in contact with so-and-so, so-and-so, such-and-such. That's not my job, okay? I don't get paid to do that. I don't get paid to call you people or call somebody. But I am thinking about myself as an elder and other elders in our community.
Right.
And we do need more people. Somebody said something about, oh, we got to dress up before we go see somebody. There should be a list. It's easy. It's not hard. There should be a list that the tribal police have, the OES people have, Kamau. The few people at Kamau Medical Center have. Once they're deemed positive, you go to the motel. There should be a care package there. I went to the dollar store. I happened to have a doctor's appointment, and I asked, could I please stop by the dollar store and grab a couple things? I love bologna there. And I went in there, and when I was walking, I seen these little tiny bleaches, little tiny dishwashing liquid, you know, things like this for safety that they could have a box, go there, buy this. Now, we were told last week that if we can't get it, we'll connect with Tanis and we'll make sure Tanis gets it. Our people that are there need a care package. When they get in there, they can't go out, like wash their clothes and do a lot of things. But say you go to Costco, buy the paper plates, paper bowls, you know, forks, spoons, and knives. People need to eat for a week, 2 weeks, whatever days they're there. You know, you watch the news. People have had this thing. Some people have had it 4 weeks, 6 weeks, been in the hospital. We don't want it to get that bad. That's what I'm talking about. I'm afraid, and I'm up Bald Hill. I'm glad I'm up Bald Hill. I mean, I can remember when we first, Byron, when you first closed this reservation down in March, you know, I didn't move to go no place until May. 2 months I was in my house. 2 months. Didn't go nowhere. Mm-hmm. Barely walked outside. Mm-hmm. The school district was good. They brought my grandchildren's food. I have chairs outside my house. The school district was wonderful. Gary is wonderful. He can put my food right there on the, you know, and let me know, hey, I'm here, Jamie. Okay. Somebody go out and grab my stuff. I am safety up here. I try to be, most of us elders up here on Bald Hill, we try to be real safe. But it's dangerous down in the valley when our young people have it. They're calling us saying, I don't have this. I don't have that. Now, my understanding is you have it blocked off there. But people should be able, if their loved one is there, they should be able to go to that front door where you have check in. They know who's there and who's not there. People should be able to go ahead and take food there or whatever. Oh, this is food for my loved one, so-and-so, such-and-such. Leave. There should be chairs or tables outside every door. Not like there is all the rooms are used or whatever. But there should be a little chair or a table out there where the people from the motel can go set something there, come downstairs, call up to the room, hey, I put something outside your door. I'm not saying everybody contact. There's a way to stay safe. And people are afraid, like BP. When we go in BP, they should limit it. Not five people. Maybe one person at a time, two pushing it. That's a small little store. They should always be cleaning, always be cleaning. I mean, I go, I like, even when I went to the dollar store, those people were all wiping down, spraying, wiping. This was a constant thing. It wasn't just because it was empty. That's what we're talking about. Care packages, people knowing what is what, who is who. I called this morning. I called who I thought I could call and say, okay, these people need to be checked because this person contacted this one, that one, this one, that one. Now, where was my safety officer? No safety officer. We know when these people go into the motel, they should be sat down. Please let me know who you've been in contact with the last 7 days,
mm-hmm.
eight days, 2 weeks, whatever. Mm-hmm. Can you give me, please give me a list, write it down. That way, then you can get your one nurse or doctor, whoever goes to the houses to tell the people, please come in for a test. Or maybe you can take the test to their home. I don't know exactly how mm-hmm. it's done.
Okay.
I haven't, praise God, I haven't been able to do that.
Oh, Jamie.
And yes, Greg, I do growl at my own. Please stay home. Stay home. You don't have to go into the valley.
Okay. Yeah, me too.
I understand about the drugs. I understand all about that, too.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not trying to be innocent. I'm not saying, you know, I and my kids are perfect up here. No. But I try to do my best. I've been out town for doctor's appointments. And, oh, I did go three times. I did go three times to the casino to do my kids' family member sent me to Even Steven. And when I went there. I stayed in a motel.
Okay,
I
Jamie, we have another
I came
caller.
Back in a motel.
Jamie, we
so
have another.
I try to be as safe as I
right.
can.
Okay. Okay, I would recommend that you call and talk to Greg after we get off the air here. You can talk to him about that. But we do have another caller. I'd like to go to that other caller. Thank you. Caller, you're on the air.
Yes, thank you. So I just have a comment mainly that it would be nice if we could have this rebroadcast maybe at 6 o'clock every evening for people that mm-hmm. don't catch it the first time or come on late.
Yeah, we'll do that
I
at 5 o'clock. 5 o'clock?
It depends on how long we go. So, mm-hmm. like, if this ends up being a 40-minute show, it'll be 10 after 5. You get the idea. But it'll
yeah.
be in the
okay.
5 o'clock hour.
Yeah.
Oh, great. Okay, sure. Thank you. I hadn't heard that.
Yeah.
So, and then the other thing is that we need hand-washing stations downtown for our most vulnerable part of our community, who is all those who are on the street, and then passing out masks to them every day. Maybe our behavioral health can get involved with that, and also just more outreach to those who are shut-ins and, you know, have severe depression anyway to start with. So, and then the other mm-hmm. thing was that our community needs more education. I totally agree with Greg. We need to educate our community. The more we can talk with one another or hear one another, certainly Facebook is a 21st century option for that. And we need to be treating the store like it's the mini mart, that we already have exposure and be ahead of the game instead of behind. So we need many more tracers, and we need to treat everything like it's already happened, and it has, because we're mm-hmm. here, and we increased by 4 over the last 24 hours.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to be very proactive and care for one another.
Mm-hmm.
And this is Norma. This is all I have to say. Thank
right.
you so much.
Thank you for calling. That's the reason for this program, is to get these inputs, suggestions. I mean, that's where really a lot of good information is coming in from people like just the last caller and other callers, and they are being listened to and they're being implemented into our plans and stuff, I'm sure. Isn't that right, Greg?
Yes, that's true.
Yeah. So please, we have another caller. I'll go ahead with the second caller here. Caller, you on the air?
Hi. I was just wondering, I know that you put all the tribal entities on admin leave for the last 2 weeks, this being the last week. what is the plan for after this, when places will still be shut down?
Well, that's, like I had said before on this program, this whole effort is fluid. It's changing all the time. And it really depends on the cases that we get. If there's more cases and stuff, we're going to be buckling down even more. So it really depends on how, if we can hold the line on this, that's the goal right now, is just to hold the line.
Okay, well, I was just wondering, with increased cases every day, will you continue the admin leave? Will you use some of the grants that the tribe has gotten for COVID relief towards being able to pay the employees, or just...
Well, actually, the council's meeting on it right now. I've got to get back over there, and we're sorting through the money, and so we are working on that. The council is. The whole council was there this morning, and I just left them. But rest assured, we are working on it.
Okay, and is there still a council meeting tomorrow night?
I don't think so.
No, it'll be the 18th.
Yeah, it's the 18th.
It's going to be on the 18th, so it'll be next Tuesday.
The 18th. Okay, sorry. All righty, that was all.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, we have another caller on the... Hello, caller, you're on the air.
Hi, I just had a question. So I know that we're doing testing daily, but after we're doing testing, is there a follow-up plan, like, for testing for antibody? To see if people are actually having it, because... some people may be just testing positive but not really even have the virus.
I asked that same question to Kamau, and some of the information is not clear on how the antibodies work, is what I was told. And, you know, there's different science out there for how long they stay in the human body and things like that. So I can't answer for Kamau, but I know that they are looking at that stuff and thinking about that stuff.
Okay, caller, we do have another call. Did you want to...
Okay, I have another question.
Sure, go ahead.
So if the tribe is closed down for 2 weeks, what are you guys doing for the people who are working? I mean, some people have been working without the hazard pay already before the closure of the 2 weeks. So how are you guys accommodating to those people who are working?
That's what I just said earlier. The council's working on that right now. We'll be covering that today.
And so will you guys be paying them back from when you guys took that hazard pay away back on the 7th?
I'm not sure about that.
Well, I think there's an LPA process thing that's it's due tomorrow. I think the last day for comments is tomorrow, and then it'll be decided on the 20th.
Right. Yeah, that's right. Last night they had a public hearing. I conducted a public hearing in regard to that.
Okay.
And today is the last.
This should be something that should be done right away, you know.
I mean, right.
There's more exposure, and families are putting themselves out there, and they're not even getting anything for what they're doing.
Yeah.
And then they're not even considered essential workers, but yet they're still working.
Right. Yeah, that's what
And then do you guys have any plans of helping the community of any more food boxes, and maybe upping those food boxes? And I don't know, I mean, I haven't heard anything since the last one, which was a while ago.
Okay, Greg, you want to touch on those food boxes?
I know that we are working closely with Kamau and with TANF, and starting to work with the food distribution. We also are working with the grocery store to provide the food for the isolated and quarantined folks, and the folks that call into that line that need the 8100 line that need assistance. So I know that our operations folks are taking those calls and they're acting on those immediately. And that includes not just food and supplies, but it also includes the PPE, personal protective equipment, like the mask, hand sanitizers.
Mm-hmm. Okay, caller, did you have any questions?
All right, so everything's in progress, so hopefully soon something will...
Right, yeah.
Everything's done.
Yeah. It's
all righty, thank you.
Okay, thank you for calling. We have another caller. Caller, you're on the air.
Okay, if rural area positive cases have increased by 75% in the last 2 weeks, And we know that all rural areas are lacking 80% of the resources we needed to combat COVID-19. Do you feel like we are safe following the minimum recommendations, already knowing that the odds are against us?
Great, did you have
Yeah, I, you know, I was thinking about that too, and really, what is the alternative? And when it comes down to it, we have to do our best to combat it with what we know is scientifically proven to reduce the risk of contracting COVID-19. And that is, like we're saying all the time, washing your hands frequently, using hand sanitizer, using your mask when you're around people, and practicing social distancing. And where it's broken through our defenses in this community is really in the folks that really don't practice those things, and they're ignoring those recommendations. And you know, we can only the tribe put out the ordinance for the curfew and everything, but really it's up to the community. How hard do you want to fight to keep this thing at bay? And right now we're at a critical juncture where we cannot give up, and we have to continue to hold the line, because the alternative is really not something pleasant.
Yeah, it may come, you know, eventually. I don't know the legal parts of all of this, but a police state might be considered as far as making sure that people that are infected don't go in the public. There's some drastic actions, I think, still on the table, but we're not there yet. And I think that Greg is right. We're as long as we practice those things that are mentioned, masks and all that, that's the defense we have right now. But there certainly is some real drastic action we can take in the future here that we may have to take. Caller, do you have any more?
No, I guess. Okay. But statistically speaking, wouldn't we ensure health and safety by implementing the most effective measures?
And what I know of the disease and how we can implement the most effective measures is what I mentioned. Do you have other measures that you're talking about that maybe I could address?
Caller, did you hear that?
Yeah.
Do you have any suggestions?
No.
Okay, all right. Okay, if you don't have any more questions, I thank you for calling.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah. Well, anyway, okay, we don't have any more calls. We'll go ahead and wrap this up and get back to work. And rest assured out there, we're doing everything possible that we can possibly do. And don't think that, you know, we're taking all these suggestions over the air, and those will be, you know, they're enlightening in a lot of respects, that people are calling in and making these recommendations and suggestions. It's really very, very helpful. So this will be rebroadcast at after 5 o'clock today. And we will be back on the air here tomorrow at 12. So hopefully we'll have someone from Kamau. Yeah. We have another caller. I'll go ahead and take that. So, caller, you're on the air.
So I just have a question. If you're planning on bringing in people from out of the area, but yet we aren't sending our firefighters out to fight any fires off the reservation, why would we bring people in to our community? And why are you, when people are asking questions, you seem to be forwarding them to somebody else to answer? You're the leader of the tribe. Can you answer them to the best of your ability?
Well, we have a system here, and we have the incident commander sitting here that Scotty's He's the one that runs that part of it. They are working on it every day. So I rely on them completely as far as, you just asked the question about bringing people to fight the fire. We made it so that this fire up here on the Red Salmon thing is that all those people that came in were stationed. We had them stationed up in Willow Creek, and they weren't allowed when they came through to stop on the reservation. So I don't know what you're talking about with bringing people in. So anyway, do you have any more questions?
Well, that's it. Thank you.
All right. We have another caller here. Caller, you're on the air.
Hi. I just wanted to ask how many cases need to be on the reservation before we do something more drastic, like a level 4.
Well, we're continually evaluating that, and one good thing is that thank God we don't have any deaths. And some of the larger cities and populated areas, they're having thousands of deaths, and those are some of the factors that we consider, as well as the numbers. So I mean, there's multiple things to consider. One of the other things is, are we outside of our safety guidelines for the places that are open? And do we feel like that, we can still function with those protocols in place? And at this time, just like we did that exercise today at the store, and we had a positive case there, we were able to use that safety protocol and determine that one shift of, part of their safety protocol was to have two different shifts of people, so that if one was exposed, the other shift can continue to do business. And so those protocols are still effective, and therefore...
Right, wouldn't it be more effective to use those sort of protocols every day rather than when there's just a outbreak?
Well, they are in effect every day, and it was just...
But they don't shut down every day, right?
They don't shut down every day, but they do they do clean every day. They do social distancing. They do reduce the amount of people that can be in the store. So those safety protocols.
But CDC recommends that once you clean, you need to wait for an hour before you introduce new contaminant. So.
Yeah, like I said, we're evaluating the safety protocols all the time. And we're making suggestions to the tribal council on whether we go, further into the different phases, back and forth, depending on what the cases dictate.
I appreciate everyone on here and that you guys are coming on the radio and allowing everyone to ask questions. And I just want you to keep in mind that while I'm listening today, I've heard a few suggestions, and although they're not delivered in the most positive way, they are messages and suggestions that the community members are giving you. And I've heard reactive answers rather than, agreeable.
Yeah. I clearly heard the keeping in contact with the people that are affected or people that have been in isolation or in quarantine or even those that have been exposed. I clearly heard that. It's better to keep in contact with them, weeks on through to make sure that they continue. I clearly heard that. I clearly heard that, the cleaning and the CDC guidelines for the businesses that are open need to be improved, and I agree with both of those things. So I'm taking all the considerations. I'm bringing that back to the team, and we're implementing those things. So I appreciate the comments from the community and from you. And we're all in this together, and so mm-hmm. I appreciate that.
Right.
Walk well, thank you. I appreciate that.
Okay.
Bye.
Thank you for calling. And I had stated it earlier that I really appreciate people calling in, and that was the whole idea why I started this program in the first place, was to have call-ins. It's so important for people that to talk to the people that are running this effort, to be able to make suggestions. And we are listening, and I said that a number of times. that we are taking these things into consideration, and most likely they'll be implemented. And there's some really good ideas out there. I've always depended on the membership or the public to assist in whatever problems we have going on, and as far as making suggestions on how to fix them. That's a very, very key part of solving a lot of these problems, is getting input from the public. And then again, though, it is the responsibility of the public to be able to practice the things that we're talking about, to try to limit this. And that's the mask and all that. That's the key thing, that the public has to do that to stop. That's probably the biggest defense we have right now, is the public out there to be able to follow these things, these things that we laid out that you must do. So anyway, we don't have any more calls. We'll go ahead and wrap this one up. Again, this will be broadcast at 5 later today. Thank you for listening. We'll see you around.